It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening to you all. It's Tuesday the 11th of October. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Coming up over the next hour, Niall Murray introduces a €9 million EU project aimed at building metaverse tools for media and the arts sectors at Technological University of Shannon. Find out just what the metaverse is and what impact it will have on our everyday lives and our business lives in just a little while too. John Toohey, the founder of Oopod, will be along to talk about their latest service that offers prescription collection lockers at pharmacies across the Midlands and soon to be all across the country too. And Alyssa Stevens will be on to talk about how financial brands are using TikTok to create social proof. It's becoming very popular with the big financial institutions, particularly banks as well. And the influencers that are driving that are known as Finfluencer as well. It's a new word for me today, so find out a little bit later exactly what a Finfluencer is and the role that platforms like TikTok are playing in driving these brands, particularly in something like finance where there's a whole lot of trust and a lot of pitfalls in the two. So very interesting stuff coming up. Stay with us. If you want to join me here and join the conversation in the studio, you can do, as always, by text or WhatsApp on 083 3010 103. That, of course, is powered by the home of Offaly's top-selling car brand, Lambrothers Toyota, on the Arden Road in Tullamore. That and lots more coming up over the course of the evening. Any news that breaks, I'll bring it to you. And as always, we look forward to hearing your opinion on these major topics. One that really... this hasn't escaped anyone's attention over the last day or so. I refer to a letter written by the Leash Chamber Alliance, and it's got to do with IDA involvement and activity in County Leash. Maybe I should put that as a lack of activity. Now, just to put that into a little bit of context, earlier this year, the IDA released its report for 2021. And it contained loads of record figures, basically 20,000 plus new jobs created in 2021 by IDA companies, a net increase of almost 17,000 jobs year on year for the previous number of years. Those results, of course, achieved in what was the most challenging and volatile international environment we had currently known at that time, as in COVID-19. Now, 53% of those jobs, or 53% of those investments, that's 133 of the 249 investments won, went to regional locations with employment growth in every region of the country. Now, that's where the good news ends if you're from County Leash, because that very letter that the Leash Chamber Alliance have written to the IDA just yesterday highlights some very, very stark numbers in that. To find out a little bit more about them, I'm delighted to be joined first by Caroline Hoffman, the CEO of Leash Chamber, and Councillor James Kelly is on the line too. We'll bring James in a few minutes. Caroline, it's probably obvious what propelled you to write this letter in the first place. Take us through some of those statistics.
Good evening, Ronan. So I think firstly, you've highlighted very well about the focus on regional jobs and the success with IDA regionalisation. So on the back of a parliamentary question, which was submitted by a Dáil deputy outside of the constituency, the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Antánas Dáileadh-Bhradacar, responded in written format, in tabular form, the level of jobs throughout the country, county by county. So Leash is bottom of that table with 157 jobs. Now, to put that into context, we're in the Midlands region, so Longford, Westmeath, Offaly. Westmeath have 60% of those jobs. Offaly has nearly 19. Longford has 19. And Leash, we only have 2.2%. So this isn't new, unfortunately. This has been ongoing for a number of years. So as Leash Chamber Alliance, including former board members, Invest in Leash, which is one of our subcommittees, we came together. We've written to our TDs and ministers representing the constituency, and we need action on this. You know, you look at the IDA half-year results, which were published in July 2022. These were the highest ever. You know, they're targeting regional jobs. The IDA strategy, which is 2021 to 2024, doesn't even mention Laois. The only mention of Laois is Laois and Offaly ETB, who do a phenomenal job with local companies and upskilling and ensuring you have a constantly trained and talented workforce.
I'm just looking at some extra figures here. Populations of those counties you mentioned. So Laois with a population from the last census of 91,657 people. What's quite staggering is it's up about 56% since 2002 and 8.2% since the last census in 2016. Now Monaghan, which of course has almost four times the jobs, has a population of 64,800 people. Offaly then has 82,688, despite the fact it has over 1,300 jobs as well. So what is it, Laois? What's the reason? Surely you've got some feedback at this point as to why Laois has become this outlier.
There is no explanation. Logistically, we're centrally located. We have a very talented workforce. We had 13,000 people leaving the county prior to the pandemic, which shows how many people we have available situated in the county. We have a great work-life balance, which would really attract these people back. We have lower operational costs. We have a variety of sites available. There really is no explanation and no reason that we're facing, you know, bottom of the table year on year. One reason perhaps, and something that we did mention in our letter, was that perhaps we're not located in the right region in terms of IDA investments. So we did suggest our positioning could be realigned to the mid-east or south-east region. We've seen this with Hidden Heartlands. For example, Offaly moved from Ireland's Ancient East to Hidden Heartlands. We've remained as Laois in alignment with Kildare, Carlow, Kilkenny, for example. And obviously, where we're positioned in terms of regions, the Midlands region is thriving, you know, in terms of jobs. But when only 2.2% of those jobs are in Laois, it just doesn't make sense. It's baffling. It's frustrating. And I think we should consider, you know, moving to another region if it is possible and see how that works, because the current situation just isn't working.
You had a major win a few years back with the arrival of Greenfield Global, again, one of those IDA companies. Enware Technologies down in Rathdowney, if I'm correct as well. But they're probably making up the bulk of those 157 jobs.
So Greenfield Global is headed by Ken Finnegan, and Ken has been part of some excellent pieces in terms of promoting Laois. Greenfield Global were looking at 32 sites across the country, and they chose Laois. And that was logistics, location, location, location. Enware, they're based in Bloom HQ, and they used Bloom HQ as an initial location to get a feel for the county. And the feedback I've heard is they're delighted there. Bloom HQ in Mountrath, fantastic location, great place to set up. And it shows that if perhaps we had a ready-made solution like an advanced technology building, that would attract these companies.
And of course, they form a key part of the IDA's strategy.
But unfortunately, again, there's no mention of Laois. You know, Longford would be mentioned, Mullingar, Athlone, Tullamore. But where's Port Laois? Even I'm going to state, you know, a quote from the IDA strategy that the IDA will progress or commence upgrade works at IDA parks in Athlone, Mullingar and Tullamore. Again, no mention of Port Laois. So no wonder we're feeling so left behind. And, you know, perhaps we've been failed in terms of our political representation in the past. So here's our opportunity. There's 25 investments being targeted in the most recent strategy for the Midlands region up to 2024. Here's our opportunity.
I'm going to bring in Councillor James Kelly there. James is an independent county councillor from Mountrath and was on with me last year actually because he was calling for the formation of a task force. But James, from a council level, Caroline's talking about things like advanced manufacturing centres and that. The council have plenty of land, and indeed the council have been very proactive lately in making this land available for investment and indeed for even Indigenous companies to expand their operations on.
Yes, indeed, Ronan. And good evening to you and to Caroline. And, you know, we look at the great project that is Junction 17 as well. And as Caroline said, there are some great companies who are based in Laois at the moment. And the likes of Greenfield Global and Auburn and Kirby's now are coming into Junction 17, and Glanby are there as well. And, of course, I come from Mountrath, and Caroline mentioned Bloom HQ, where it would have been a great market town years ago. And we took advantage when the Brigidine Sisters granted us the convent, and we have the remote working hub there, Bloom HQ. But, you know, talking about lands and that, we have plenty of land that are zoned as well for business and investment. And just recently we talked about the IDA, and I brought it up at the last year as well about, you know, I said that you know, Laois is the forgotten county as far as the IDA are concerned, because with the amount of visits that they brought to the county over the last 4 to 5 years, it was very minimal. Now we have news that they have bought 44 acres there on the Mount Rat Road at the IDA park. But it's the fact that they're not bringing these companies down to us. They're not bringing the visits. They'll say they have these companies who are coming down to visit the county, but then what happens is we see them going back up to Westmeath and to Offaly, where you just mentioned there about the number of jobs there, 4,000 up in Westmeath and 1,300 in Offaly, compared to 157 in Laois. I think it's a disgrace, and our county are not being recognised by the IDA and by the government. And I am part of this Laois Invest group, and I must say Laois Chamber with Caroline, they're doing great work. The committee's doing great work to highlight the fact that we're being left behind and being ignored.
When it comes to looking for investment and trying to encourage those visits and increase the activity there, are there any particular sectors that come to mind that Laois could specifically target and maybe use it as a way to grow those jobs?
Well, listen, we're the only county, I'd say, in Ireland at the moment that doesn't have a pharmaceutical company based in our county, which is something that we really have been speaking about this now for the last number of years, that we do need to attract these pharmaceutical companies. You know, you just look up the road to Kildare, and it's full of those pharmaceutical companies, down to Carlo as well. And, I mean, I did mention the fact that the income that we get from rates was very low compared to other counties. But I wasn't saying that we should be increasing the rates or anything like that. What I was saying was that if we have some of these bigger companies based in Laois, the income from the rates is going to benefit the whole county for all the other different facilities that we need to look after, and the communities that we have to look after as well.
See that to some extent actually in the budget from 2 weeks ago, where yes, we're facing into a very uncertain winter, but the government clearly committed a lot of money towards supporting individuals and businesses, and a lot of that money is the tax take from these big multinationals. So I think your point is well made there. Caroline, just back to you for a second, like, what happens next? What makes you, as a group, stop this becoming another, you know, storm in an empty vacuum? Nobody hears anymore. What are you going to do next, and how are you going to actually make people sit up and listen?
Well, on behalf of our members, we're being very vocal about it now, because we feel there's no option. We're putting pressure on our political representatives, you know, ministers, TDs, because we feel they have a say as well. It's a group effort. Everybody needs to work together on this to make an impact and to change those figures. So we've invited the TDs and ministers to meet with us next week. We're going to sit down and see what can we do next. We have Invest in Laois, which James mentioned. We offer a tour of Laois, and we've had investors visit the county. So at the time, the existing board of Laois Chamber was involved with that, and they visited the county. We showed them housing, work-life balance. We showed them greenfield sites, and we also showed them retail units, depending on what sector they were in and the availability of units in the county. And we also introduced them to business people who talked about Laois and why they chose the county. So we've been very active in that as well. And we're also working on a strategy with Invest in Laois separately on how we can encourage these investors in. But it's all about a group effort. Everyone joined up thinking, and we need to really improve those results, because there really is no explanation.
Have you a target in mind? Have you a set number of jobs or areas you'd like to see jobs brought in?
Well, generally what you see with IDA companies, and I've seen it in other counties, once you have one big win, the rest tend to follow. And James also alluded to Laois County Council and Junction 17. We have such an approachable county council. They're so pro-business. Junction 17 is a success. It's been full since July. That's going to bring on stream about 550 jobs, I believe, for Junction 17. And it just shows the interest in the county. People want to locate here. We're less than an hour to Dublin Airport. We're close to ports. And, you know, within 90 minutes of the county, we've access to 87% of the population.
And it's great as well. You also see companies like Allwood Architectural expanding their sort of good local businesses, you know, set up and grown from Laois as well. James, from your perspective as a local councillor, is this a thing that the voters will be interested in locally? Like, are people really concerned about IDA and or FDI investment on the ground?
Well, they would have to be, and as Caroline mentioned as well about the 13,000 people that would be leaving our county, and a lot of those people, if these foreign direct investment are brought to Laois, there'll be a lot more people that will be staying in their communities and not having to drive up the motorways to work, and you know, they're going to have a better standard of living as well, from the point of view that they'll be able to get home a lot earlier and they'll be able to engage with their families a lot more. But one very important thing as well, which I've always mentioned along the way, we also, for to attract these investments, we also must have the proper housing as well. Now, the county has made huge commitment for a lot of housing and for the housing strategy and that, excuse me, but we also have to be able to have private housing for middle management and people who want to live in the county instead of having to drive from other counties to come into these companies. So I think that's very important as well.
Housing, of course, is always put up there as one thing, and it's an ever-present crisis in this country over years. From a local level, what can the council do to encourage then the correct and the appropriate type of housing to be built?
Well, we're just after finishing up on our county development plan, and there are a number of different sites in the county, especially in Port Laois, where hopefully builders and developers will go ahead and start building the private houses that we need, along with, of course, the lot of the affordable houses and social housing as well. But I mean, we have provided the education facilities here. We have the destination as a tourist county. We have the major festivals as well. Everybody talks about Laois now. This year, the Electric Picnic, the National Clown Championship. We had the Forest Fest as well. So we are fighting back, but we do need help, and a lot of help from the IDA, and this has to come from the government, the TDs we have that are in government in our county as well. I mean, they have to make the representation on our behalf, and they have to do it sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. James Kelly, thank you so much for your contribution this evening, and all the very best with the future endeavours there with Invest Laois and the task force that you were setting up there as well. Caroline, final word to you then. As James said, you know, you need action. You need action from government level, ministerial level too. What's the next stage of your campaign? What happens after you walk out of the studio this evening?
Well, look, we do a lot of work in the background. There's a lot of brainstorming with Invest in Laois. We have terrific members on board, all involved in business and eager to encourage more investment, both domestic and foreign, into the county. So we'll continue working with the IDA, see what we can do. You know, again, it's joined up thinking. We can't dwell on the past. We need to move forward, seize the opportunity for these regional investments. And there's also the sustainability element. Port Laois is going to be the first designated low carbon town, and that's very attractive to certain companies as well. And we're very well serviced. So, look, we'll continue working in the background, trying to attract investors ourselves with the Tour of Laois, work with the IDA, and hopefully we'll make progress after next week's meeting with our TDs and ministers.
Plenty of land available, big talent pool, good infrastructure and utilities, housing, maybe not fully solved, but on the way to being solved potentially. All other amenities, sports, schools, tourist attractions, you know, everything else. Over to the IDA now, is it?
We have it all, so there's no reason why the investors won't follow.
There's going to be a lot of banging on doors, I think, in the coming weeks and months ahead. Caroline, to yourself and all the team there, all the very best with your endeavours too. And one would be sitting here thinking, surely that number of 157 has to grow. And doubling it probably is not enough for you, but it has to start growing and growing substantially as well. Caroline Hoffman, thank you so much for that. Now, after the break, do you know what the metaverse is? Do you know what role the metaverse could play in your everyday life, indeed in your business life too? Well, there's a huge investment that's been announced, a 9 million euro fund, and there's a major project being spearheaded in Toos in Athlone. After the break, you're going to find out exactly what that means for both you and for your business and what they hope to achieve with that project. Also, we'll be hearing from the founder of Oopod. They're about to set up lockers in pharmacies across the country that allow you to pick up prescriptions without having to queue. And also, you're going to hear about Finfluencers and how the major financial institutions are using platforms such as TikTok to gain trust in their services. Lots to come here on Taking Care of Business. Talk to you shortly.
Taking Care of Business, with thanks to the local enterprise offices of Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
I'm sure you've heard of the metaverse. It's been kind of floating around for the last number of years. But precisely what it is and what it might do for us is probably, you know, relatively unknown to many of you listening as well. I have to say myself, even, I'm not totally au fait with exactly what it is. But earlier today, there was a big announcement that €9 million of an EU project aimed at building metaverse tools for media and the art sector is about to get underway at TUS, the Technological University Shannon in Athlone. Transmixer, which is funded by Horizon Europe and led by TUS, brings together researchers, design partners and media companies from 19 countries with the goal of creating human-centric tools for remote content production and consumption. To try to demystify that and explain exactly what it is and what this project hopes to achieve, I must be delighted to be joined by Dr. Niall Murray. Niall is a local man and he is the head researcher on this project as well and based in TUS in Athlone. Niall, very good evening. I suppose to begin with, just the metaverse, can you kind of sum up quite quickly what the metaverse is?
Well, hi everyone, and thanks for the opportunity to join you this evening. So basically the idea here, Ronan, is in the last number of years we've heard a lot of talk about augmented reality, virtual worlds. They've become quite mainstream. And the idea of the metaverse is that we will have this kind of single interconnected system of these virtual worlds where people can go, collaborate, work together, do social things together, all of these different kinds of things. So at the moment, a lot of these kind of different experiences or worlds are quite fragmented or siloed. And the idea of the metaverse is that it will connect them together.
It's probably something people may have seen in almost video games where you're not just playing a game, you're pretty much immersed in the world that's been created for you. Are we effectively trying to recreate the world we live in now that we can interact with all these people, be it a business, be it friends, and whatever it might be, albeit online?
Well, I suppose, you know, events like the COVID-19 pandemic kind of brought to the forefront the need to be able to collaborate in a distributed manner in a more effective way. And you know, a lot of us became very familiar with tools like Zoom or Teams or these kind of things. And we also became quite aware of the limitations of those tools. And of course, you know, the environmental aspects of reducing travel are becoming more and more important now. And the idea of the Transmixer project, as you said, which is a pan-European project of 19 partners, is to build a set of tools that allow the creative and cultural sector to collaborate in an effective manner in a distributed way. So they will meet, news broadcasters or journalists, they will meet together in a shared virtual space. They will work together seamlessly, interact seamlessly, manipulate objects together seamlessly. So the idea is that the collaboration isn't just limited to looking at a 2D screen and things like this. We should be able to work as if we were working around a table together.
So you're into things then, areas like virtual reality, augmented reality, or even, as I mentioned, in line with the Transmixer project, extended reality. What are those, you know, breaking them down for people? And I guess, how can they also be used to enhance that experience on the metaverse?
Well, all of these realities are a spectrum, right? So like you mentioned a couple of different points along that spectrum. So the spectrum in general is called the extended reality spectrum, whereby we're trying to or considering how much digital content is presented in the user's field of view at any given point in time. So, you know, if I'm sitting at home at the table with my family here, we're in the real world, there's no digital content presented, right? Or if I visit, a site like Clonmac Noise or something like this, I'm in the real world and I'm seeing the ruins there or the spectacles there. Now, what I can do through technology is, you know, point my smartphone or even an augmented reality head-mounted display. The sensors on that camera or sensors from the cameras can recognize objects in the environment and present digital content overlaid on the real-world environment, right? So I'm in the real world, but I'm looking through the lens of my phone or through a head-mounted display, and augmented content is giving me context-based information on a real-world object. So this is augmented reality. So we're in the real world, but our real-world surroundings are enhanced or augmented by digital content. If we move a little bit further along the spectrum, then we can go to this idea of virtual reality, where all of the content I'm consuming, all the audiovisual content in full 360 is all digital content. So I have no real awareness of what's going on around me. And you often see these clips of people with virtual reality headsets falling over, things like this. You know, they have no awareness of the real world. Everything they're consuming and interacting with is digital content. So the whole idea of the extended reality, it's a spectrum of how much content is digital content is presented to the user at any given point in time. And in fact, in the transmixer project, in particularly in the tourism space, we will look at how we can go beyond just audiovisual senses and include, you know, more ecologically tourist experiences that include sense of touch or even potentially sense of smell as a media component.
Wow, you're getting very deep at it then, because I know for many years there's always been this kind of fascination with trying to develop, you know, maybe a television or some sort of a, you know, that will allow you to kind of, you know, maybe sense or get some indication what a certain experience smells like. So take it back, this 9 million euro project then that is starting in Toos as well. What are the primary aims? Like, what do you hope to achieve by the end of this for it? And I know you've kind of touched on how it can be applied there in the tourism sector, but what's the ultimate goal from it?
So the project has almost 9 million funding from the European Commission under the Horizon Europe framework. But we also have a partner from Switzerland and Switzerland are contributing their own budget. So it's almost nearly 10 million in total. The kind of idea of the project as a whole will contribute three key blocks of technology for the creative and cultural sector. So the first block is around understanding. So, you know, we're all very familiar with social media or the different forms of social media. If I'm a journalist and go to a scene, I capture some video content and things like this. And in the future, that types of content will not just be 2D video. It'll also incorporate what we call volumetric video, where we have this idea of the hologram that you would have seen in sci-fi movies over many years. So in the project, we take an assumption that all of this content exists, and much of it does already. So the first major block of the project is around how can we automatically understand the context of that content. So if I'm at a GAA match and I take a video of someone taking a free or scoring a point or a goal or whatever, the algorithms we will develop will be able to automatically understand the context of that content to know that, say, my own GAA club, Pádraig Pearse and Roscommon, are playing a match down in Hyde Park, for example. And the AI algorithms that we will develop will understand this. So what that will allow then is journalists or news broadcasters or different CCS professionals to actually be able to access the automatically annotated content to use it to create new news stories of the future. And that's the second major block. The first block is understanding the content. The second major block is collaborating to create this new experiences based on this understanding. So what will happen in the second block then is the distributed users will be based all over the world, or different parts of Ireland. They can come together in a shared virtual space. They will collaborate as if they were co-located. And they will have access to the annotated content from the understanding engine that they will use to create the new news stories. That then, or the output of that block, is the consumption engine, where we as end users, so I'm listening to your show tonight, I'm an end user, I'm consuming this content. And we can consume content in new ways. So again, if I use a sports analogy, you know, if you're ever watching a match at the weekend and you have a group of friends who have a particular interest in it, there's hundreds of WhatsApp messages being shared between you as the match is going on. Mm. So the idea here is that, well, we actually integrate this into the single platform that I'm actually consuming or interacting with this content in a collaborative manner with my peers. So this is the kind of final element. And we will use XR across the creation and the consumption elements, and we will use AI across all three components. So it essentially will build tools for the understanding of content, for the creation of content, and the consumption of content.
And that can, if you, when you apply that then, say, to the arts sector, like you could have a play taking place maybe in Dunamaze in Portlaoise or in the new arts centre here in Tullamore, and yet you could have an audience all across the world engage in this, but not just actually watching, but interacting with the audience, possibly even the actors on stage, all via the metaverse.
Exactly. So it moves beyond this kind of idea that, you know, my experience of, let's say, a performance that you just mentioned there is under the discretion of the director or the producer. So what it will allow me to do is I can decide what view I have of the experience. So imagine if it's a play or it's a dance or opera or whatever, I can select what angle of the actor I want to view, if you understand me. So
yeah,
you have the ability to actually move around in the environment on any angle or any actual aspect we want. So if I go back to the, or if you talk about the kind of the arts aspect there, you know, if there's a particular type of dance movement that I want to actually understand in a better way, I can switch to whatever angle I want of the dancer to see how they're shaping their arm or controlling their arm or what way they're moving their arm, to really make it a personalised experience for myself. You know, so there's lots of applications of that. They're really, you know, it's obvious actually the potential applications in terms of learning, in terms of, you know, engaging with the experiences in a completely personalised and different way.
And it's quite interesting because when you mentioned there about maybe viewing a performance from different angles, anybody who's familiar with gaming, that's something they're doing, you know, all the time and have been doing it for maybe two decades, because most major games will allow you to change the angle you're looking at it from. So while it might sound very strange and alien to some people, for some people it's very, very normal. But Niall, thank you so much for coming on this evening and trying to break down exactly what it is and what the metaverse and the role it can play. I know we're talking about the arts and kind of culture sector here. The project is expected to run for about 3 years. It's going to hold its kickoff meeting on October the 25th and 26th in Athlone. And all I can say is the very best of luck with the project and looking forward to some future updates on it.
No problem, Ronan. Thanks very much. I'm delighted to also add, Ronan, we have three partners from Ireland in the project. So VRAI, a virtual reality and an artificial intelligence company based out of Dublin. TG4, I hope, are going to join quite shortly, ourselves and Toos. You know, so it's fantastic for Ireland Inc. that, you know, projects at this kind of level, that we have a significant stakeholder in the actual work. It's really great. So I look forward to myself.
Absolutely. Once you don't replace radio presenters, that's the main thing anyway. So thanks a million. All the very best with that going forward.
Thank you very
much. There you go. I mean, and the show where we kicked off by talking about job creation and looking at where, you know, it's often said that the jobs that your children will be working in haven't even been created yet. Nobody knows what they are. They don't currently exist. Stuff like this is potentially going to fill that role, and you know, they'll all be working in these areas, and we'll have to pick, as parents, you have to try and pick up the language and lingo and try and navigate them through the education and college system to make them suitably qualified. But anyway, no better place to start than Toos. Time for a quick break. After that, time to find out about who and what are Finfluencers and what role are they playing in building trust for some of the big financial brands. That's coming very shortly.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
We're going to move from talking about the metaverse and the opportunities it may present for everyday life and for business and indeed for education and future jobs, and move towards the area of influencing, and particularly influencers who are very active in the financial sector. So basically, Finfluencers have become known. And you might be familiar with the various social media channels. You've got like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the use. TikTok, of course, has been the one that just rumbled up a couple of years ago. Seems to have taken over everything. Admittedly, I don't have a TikTok account. I don't know much about it. But what I do know is by listening to what people are saying, videos can go viral very, very quickly on it. And TikTok is becoming a hugely important stream for marketing goods to people. Now, particularly younger people, 18 to 24-year-olds in particular. And actually, 18 to 24-year-olds, a recent study by Barclays has shown, are finding new ways to make money by investing. So they're becoming one of the big groups of investors out there. So those at 18 to 24-year-old that you're looking at up in their bedroom on their phone, they could be the next billionaire because of the investments they're making. But how are they going about that? And indeed, how are these investment institutions and big banks trying to attract them in the first place by using things like TikTok? Well, I'm delighted to find out more. I'm delighted to be joined on the phone by Alyssa Stevens. And Alyssa's with Connolly Partners, and she's the Director of Influencer Marketing. A very good evening, Alyssa. People might be surprised to hear that 18 to 24-year-olds in particular are taking up investing, but they're being targeted as well through platforms like TikTok. How is that happening?
Well, Ronan, TikTok really is the first and only source of education on money matters for this generation. There's that absence of financial literacy in school, and so all of a sudden you're out in the world and you don't know what to do with the money that you're making. What we find is that this age group is no longer trusting traditional mediums in the same way that past generations did. Instead, they're really finding peer-to-peer recommendations as being their strong source. And if they're spending up to 95 minutes per day on channels like TikTok, those recommendations are coming from influencers. And in the matters of money, it's coming from those finfluencers that you just mentioned. And so what we're trying to do with our clients at Connolly Partners, both in Dublin and Boston, we have offices in both locations as well as Vancouver, is working with these banks and financial institutions to reach consumers through trusted influencers by renting their audience. Because many people find that the information provided by these social influencers is easier to understand. It feels accessible. It feels more authentic. And this audience, this Gen Z younger group of people, doesn't want to be sold to. They want to learn something from someone that they feel they can relate to in just easy to digest content. And so that's where we're seeing TikTok and the rise of these finfluencers meet their match with Gen Z.
Of course, when it comes to online platforms and particularly cutting through the noise and the misinformation out there, I mean, you see a huge Irish example there recently with Kinzen being bought out by Spotify in order to kind of look after its whole kind of trust issues there. It's a massive area of growth as well. So when it comes then to, you know, influencers who are actually making waves and indeed becoming these key people or finfluencers for people who are looking to invest as well, how does that come about, and how do the young people engaging with them know that this influencer indeed can be trusted in the first instance?
Yes, so that is a great question. We find that with influencers, you really need to find the best partners. So if you are a financial institution that has engaged an advertising agency to activate influencers, you want to make sure that they're choosing the best partners for you. So someone that has some knowledge in this space, and then utilize them to craft a message that really effectively approaches the subject areas that you want to focus on, whether that's mortgage or just general saving, in a way that feels approachable. TikTok has also put some parameters in place to not only put out every piece of information, but to have some sort of boundaries, so that if they find a piece of information as not being completely factual, we do find that they flag it. So there is a piece of risk and reward there where people are consuming this content, but they need to do their due diligence to make sure that it's actually accurate. And so that, of course, in anything where it can be widely spread, there is that chance that information could not necessarily be the most factual. You really want to make sure that you have A, trusted partners, and B, you're fact-checking what you're seeing.
Just because a video has, you know, 10 million views or likes obviously doesn't mean that it's factually correct and indeed might be the best way to use your money. But at the start, Alyssa, you mentioned some of the more traditional institutions. So are the likes, say, here locally in Ireland, like are the likes of, say, the Bank of Ireland or the AIBs of this world, would they be kind of using these influencers now and becoming aware of TikTok? Or is there a whole other raft of organisations or institutions that maybe most people have never heard of that are primarily using this in order to grow and excel their businesses?
It's a bit of both. So in the United States, we are seeing our banks sort of adapt this new finfluencer phenomenon. In Ireland, we're also seeing our clients begin to test the waters and ask questions about it. So it's something that everyone understands that there could be a huge benefit in terms of the awareness for their institution or the awareness of different financial topics. But we are seeing them dip their toe in the water of it and figuring out who the best finfluencers could be. And I think the best way that they can help the fact-checking on TikTok occur is by putting their trust in influencers. And then when people are consuming the content, they see that it's sponsored by a bank that they know already and that they feel is an authentic source of information. It's just being communicated in a way that's much more digestible because it's through these trusted partners. So that's a great way that we like to advise our clients at Connolly Partners to not only look at who you're partnering with, but what kind of information you're having them communicate to you.
Would people be surprised by potentially how much and how lucrative being, how much these influencers might be worth, and indeed how lucrative a career it might be, particularly if you're working with big investment companies who have a global reach of billions of young people who are, by the sounds of things, very keen to try their hand at investing?
Yes, I think people would be very surprised. Influencers are making quite a bit of money these days across all different topic matters. Traditionally, you may think of influencers as people that sport the latest clothing or makeup goods, but really we're seeing influencers emerge across all different subject matters, including financial topics. And as influencer marketing as an industry expands, we're seeing the amount of global marketing budgets dedicated to this industry expand exponentially. To give you a sense, it was expected that $8 billion was being dedicated from global marketing dollars in 2021. In 2022, that's doubling to $16.4 billion dedicated to influencer marketing. And that's going to not only pay the agency to facilitate that, but also to pay the influencers for what they're communicating. You're renting their audience, and they're creating really great content for you that you often have the rights to repurpose. So you're getting that awareness, but then you're also getting assets for your brand.
Wow, that is absolutely staggering. If it's $16.4 billion this year, you can only guess what it might be in the years ahead. Alyssa, I think you've definitely given us plenty of food for thought there. I think it links in nicely with the piece previously about the metaverse as well, because I suppose that's going to be the next iteration of this, and who knows where it goes. But I suppose maybe the message might be that teenager that's upstairs or down their bedroom on their phone for that 90 minutes or 2 hours a day, they could be the next billionaire due to the investments they're making. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. But Alyssa, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us this evening. again as a topic, and he would like to follow up again with you in future. That's Alyssa Stevens there, Director of Influencer Marketing for advertising agency Connolly Partners. Told you tonight's show would kind of open your eyes a little bit and maybe get you to sit up and think. Hopefully it has. We're not done yet, actually, because after a break, John Toohey, the founder of Oopod, will be along to talk about their latest service that will see lockers put in pharmacies to allow you pick up your prescription without having to queue up. But one thing you might have to queue for if you're not quick off the mark is your tickets for the Midlands 103 Hospitality Awards, because the countdown is on. The 2022 Midlands 103 Hospitality Awards, which take place next month on November the 14th in the Midlands Park Hotel, Portlaoise. The shortlist has been revealed today and is now live on our website. So has your favourite hotel made the cut? Will your choice of restaurant be in the running? Is your best loved pub or tourist experience in the final? You can check out who the finalists are in over 40 categories by clicking on the link on midlands103.com. The awards, of course, are brought to you by Midlands 103 and by Brian Cunningham Management and Leash and Offaly County Councils. Stay tuned. After break, we'll be talking to John Toohey about that latest venture with Oopod.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Oopod is a smart parcel locker solution designed with sustainability, convenience and security in mind, and it allows all parcel carriers, retailers and consumers to use lockers for collection from and delivery to. You remember John Toohey, the founder of Oopod, was on with me a few months back introducing the idea. It was set up in 2021 by John, who previously co-founded Nightline and Parcel Motel. The company has raised more than $3 billion in funding so far, and they've actually extended the service now because pharmacy pickup is the latest service that they've added. It's going to allow you to collect prescriptions in these lockers without having to go through the queues or wait in the pharmacy. John, the growth continues with Oopod. Why did you look at the pharmacy side of things and indeed creating these lockers for prescription collections?
Ronan, thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it. I suppose the background to this is, if we zoom out a little bit, is that we're essentially in the business of automating and introducing self-service to areas of business and of life that currently require, I think, automation of repetitive, low-value add tasks. So if you think about it, you know, the first ATMs for cash were introduced in London in the late 1960s, and I think the first one arrived in Ireland in 1980. And cash is sort of a dying thing now anyway, but I mean, nobody would consider for a moment going into a bank to queue for cash anymore. So what we're trying to do is introduce that same level of self-service to other aspects of life, including, say, collecting parcels from Oopod or Oopod lockers. And as we were discussing with retailers and pharmacists about the possibility of using parcel lockers for click and collect, order online and collect in store orders and so on, we got some inquiries about, well, could this be used for prescription medicine? And our standard parcel lockers aren't. But we researched the market and we found a product, a manufacturer in Finland, who make a parcel locker that's specifically designed for medicine, you know, prescription pickup. So we thought this was a really good idea. It's very popular in Finland and in the Nordics, where pharmacies operate are very similar to the Irish market. And we just thought that it would be a good idea to bring these to Ireland, because in a pharmacy environment, you know, particularly in the winter, we've got people queuing, people that are ill and possibly contagious. So it's not a place really that we want to hang around too long. So if we can help speed up that process, automate it so that you can pick up your repeat prescription without having to hang around too long. That's really.
But you're also, you're not there for using up, say, valuable time from the pharmacist. And I presume it also gives the option of maybe 24/7 collection, which might suit people who are, you know, working maybe a standard hours or maybe whatever commitments can't get there in time. So when are these lockers going to start being installed, and what's your expectations in terms of rollout across the country?
Okay, so, you're absolutely right about that. Just to finish that point, I suppose, is that pharmacists, you know, our pharmacists are so well trained and so well qualified that, you know, I think that they could spend their time on more value-added tasks in terms of dealing with patients than just, you know, handing out prescriptions. So that's a very valid point. In terms of the rollout, we've been talking to some of the major pharmacy chains. We've a lot of interest in this. We're just going through how the parcel lockers might be introduced to the pharmacy environment, and any pharmacy really, from a single owner pharmacy right up to a chain of pharmacies, can use these lockers. They can, and they're expandable to from one tower up to multiple in a larger pharmacy. So we're in discussion with with some of the major pharmacy groups at the moment. We'd love to hear from more of the independents around the country in terms of how we might introduce this, and we're just in discussions now. We've got our first orders just coming in for the pharmacy lockers in for Dublin pharmacies, and so hopefully your listeners will start seeing them at their local pharmacy over the next few months.
I think there's little doubt, John, if we look at people only remember that, like, with legs of Parcel Motel and the way they popped up as well. I think you've definitely onto something there again. Is that lovely extension of the project there too. John, unfortunately time is really tight this evening, so I'm going to have to let you go there now, but again, congratulations on everything achieved so far with UPOD, and all the very best with your future endeavours.
Thanks a million, Ronan. Do appreciate it.
And as the time indeed is very tight, I have about 7 seconds to wrap it up. All I can say is thank you to all tonight's contributors. Hopefully the topics were of interest to you and got you thinking. Well, hopefully you've learned a little about the metaverse, about, you know, digital service, how we can enhance customer experience, about how we can create jobs in the area and what a Finfluencer is. Goodbye. Talk to you all next week.
Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.